Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Lit it at the cross, let it die so you can live.
Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain and every stain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross, find hope and forgiveness. Heal at the tree and walk away.
Is there a burden you bear that's got you battered and bound, struggling for strength? Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel where you stand. Lay it at the cross and take a hammer in your.
Walk away free, nail it to the cross.
give you a little bit of break from Elijah and Elisha. I thought I'd be back there tonight, but the Lord wouldn't let me. And, of course, we're going over here to John's Gospel, chapter number 12. We're going to look at just a couple verses, and I don't think I'll be too long tonight, but you've heard that before, but I'm not anticipating that. But I want to give you just a few thoughts here from the Scripture. Of course, this being what we consider Palm Sunday, I don't take for granted that people know what Palm Sunday is and what that represents, where it come from, preacher. Well, it is biblical. And why do we call this the Sunday before next Sunday being Easter Sunday? Why do we call this Palm Sunday? We're going to look at that tonight with the help of the Lord, what the Bible said. And, of course, John's Gospel is the one that lays it out. And we're going to look at that tonight with the help of the Lord, just a few verses, and hopefully it'll be a help and a blessing, encouragement somewhere along the line. You know, it's sort of like that song, that last song, Is Still the Blood. Doesn't matter how many times you hear that still gives you strength, even as a child of God. It gives you something that gives you strength for the journey. It's sort of like the Exodus over there. You can go to Exodus chapter number 12. Anytime you preach about the Passover, and of course the Passover is right here in John chapter number 12 as well, all that was a reflection of the days when Israel would come out of that bondage down in Egypt. Of course, the death of the firstborn, but it didn't say, when I see good works, I'll pass over. It didn't say, well, when I see your good deeds or your baptism or how much you tithe or where you live or what your address is, what your first name is, what your last name is. That ain't what it said. It said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He said, the death angel's coming, and that still holds true today. It makes no difference what we've done. It's all about what he has done. And the death angel is going to come our way as well. And boy, I'm glad we're protected by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to make much of the blood. And a lot of folks don't like that. They say, well, that's too gross and too grotesque and that slaughterhouse butcher religion. You can call it whatever you want to, but just understand that's what it took for you and I to be saved. That's why we're going to go to heaven. You know, our forgiveness, our redemption, the peace that we have with God, it's all based upon the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verse number 6 said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. First Peter talks about that precious blood. It's not just blood, it's precious blood. And that's what I'm redeemed by, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved, that's what you're redeemed by. Listen, you can be as good as you want to, or you can cross all your T's and dot all your I's and still die lost in your sin. But I'm glad the blood of Jesus can forgive not just part of our sin, some of our sin. It can cleanse us from all of our sin. We better make much of the blood, and we ought to get excited about the blood, by the way. And we ought not be dried up and ho-hum, it's the blood again. Oh, thank God for the blood, man. We better not get over that. And you know what? We're going to worship the Lord Jesus throughout all eternity, the one that was slain from the foundation of the world and based upon his blood sacrifice. We ought to make much of him. But here in John chapter number 12, of course, this is a text here. We call this the triumphant entry. This would have been chronologically the week before Easter on that Sunday as he would come in. And notice what happened. Just a few things tonight about Palm Sunday. There was an offer that was made unto the people. But in John chapter 12 and verse 12, it said, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Now let's pray. Father, as I bow in your presence, God, again tonight, thank you, Lord, for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for the good day, God, you give us here today at Faith. I thank you, Lord, for the good singing, Lord, for the good Sunday school hour, Lord, for the message, God, you allowed us to hear today, and God, you spoke to my heart. Father, I pray that you'd take your word tonight. Pray that it wouldn't fall on non-fertile soil, but I pray to fall on fertile soil. I pray that you'd help your service now to just articulate the message, God, exactly how you laid it on our heart. We thank you for this Sunday and what it represents, what it means. We do thank you for that blood sacrifice. God, never help us, or help us never to have that spirit of apathy or just don't care. God, help us to be appreciative of all you've done for us. Forgiveness that was based on your sacrifice. I pray that you'd speak to every heart tonight. There's one that's lost, never been saved. I pray that you'd save them by your grace and power this evening. Help me to decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lift up. We're going to thank you, and we're going to praise you for what you do. If we ask these things in Jesus' name, all God's people see it. Amen. Well, here tonight out of John chapter number 12, and it may be a familiar passage to you, of course, as we are here on this Palm Sunday. And I think about this, oftentimes there's a certain day out of the year, and I'm not sure exactly when it is, maybe the Friday after Thanksgiving. I believe they call that Black Friday or something. And they call it Black Friday, I guess, because, and if I got my dates wrong, just understand, I'm a man, I'm not a woman, I don't set those dates. But I remember when Gracie was just a little, she was about 3 months old, Christy wanted to go to a Black Friday sale. So anyhow, we went to Elkin. And I thought she was going to get mugged because Christy picked up a shoe that evidently somebody else done marked. And, I mean, that place was packed. And it didn't take us long. It took us longer to get in there to where the shoes were and get out than it did to look. There were so many people. But they have those specials that they run, and they call the Black Friday sales. And they offer these special offers. And people will go out and go crazy and try to buy the newest gadgets and technology and different things, clothing, whatever it may be, because there's a special offer. Well, one of the greatest offers was ever made right here when Jesus entered in to Jerusalem for this triumphant entry. And boy, that just like in that day, just like it is in this day, that same offer is still extended to whosoever will. But many walk away in rejection, just as many did during this day. I think about John chapter 1 and verse 11. The Bible said he came into his own, and his own received him not. What does that mean, he came into his own? He came into his own Jewish nation, and they rejected him. They were expecting him to save now. That's what Hosanna means, by the way. It means save now. It literally came from the book of Psalm that we'll look at here in just a second. I believe Psalm 118. But Hosanna literally means save now. They thought that their Messiah was going to set up a political reign right then. That's what they were looking for. And then, of course, he was crucified here a few days later. But now they're crying right here, Hosanna. But just in a few days, Brother Kevin, they ain't going to be saying, Hosanna, save now. They're going to say, crucify him, crucify him. That's what they're going to say. But the offer was presented unto the people here in Jerusalem. There's four things that we want to look at just in these few verses, and I may look at a couple other passages, but on this Palm Sunday, why do we call it Palm Sunday? Well, if you'll notice in our reading, in verse number 13, they took the branches of those palm trees and laid in his path. But there's four things that I want you to get tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. But you can see the precision of this particular event. When Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and on this time it was precise. I'm talking about the timing. Through the providential hand of God, he wasn't 1 minute too early, Brother Dobie. He wasn't 1 minute too late. At the precise time when he made his entrance there into Jerusalem, oh yeah, God was certainly involved in that. Notice the Bible said in verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now here, what is this feast? What is he talking about? That was the Passover feast that they just sang about. It's still the blood. Exodus 12, the death of the firstborn. They were commanded to take that lamb, and it wasn't just enough to kill the lamb. The blood had to be applied on the doorpost. And God said, when that death angel comes by again, not when I see good works, not when I see good deeds, he said, but when I see the blood, I will pass over. And there was probably some sentimental people on that day that were very sincere. Probably thought, well, you know what? I don't understand. That don't make any sense. I'm just going to take my chance. I'll tell you what they found out that night. The death angel came, and if the blood had not been applied, somebody died in that house in the firstborn. There's a lot of folks today that say, well, preacher, I'll just take my chances. I'm hoping that my good's going to outweigh my bad. Friend, you'll never get there. Just as the blood had to be applied in Exodus day, in Exodus chapter number 12, for the death angel to pass over, I'm telling you now, the blood must be applied, not on a doorpost, but on your heart's door. Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This and the gospel message has got to be applied by faith to your heart's door. But they gathered at the precise time when Jesus entered in. They were coming for the feast, the Passover, which commemorated that event back in Exodus chapter number 12 when God's people came out of Egyptian bondage. There were several feasts. There were several things that they did every year. You think about the Feast of Tabernacles and other things. And I really don't want to get bogged down, but this was the Passover over feast. Jesus, the Lamb of God, as John saw him in John 1:29, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John recognized who he was. Well, the Lamb of God entered into Jerusalem when the Passover lambs were being slain. Right before they were being slain, he got there at the precise time, Brother Matt, as he entered into Jerusalem. You know, God, he's never behind, never too far ahead. He's always right on time. And when it comes to his precision in the Lord Jesus Christ, why did Christ come over 2,000 years ago? Why didn't he come 1,000 years ago? Well, there, the precise timing was there in God's way. Think about this, Galatians 4, and you know this well, in verse 4. It said, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. Came through that virgin lineage. He came here precisely at the right time. I think about this, 1 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. It said, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Jesus is even referred to as our Passover. His blood was shed. I'm glad we didn't have to go get a perfect lamb that was without blemish and didn't have one hair off, because that sacrifice had to be perfect. And I'm glad Jesus, once and for all, was that Passover for you and I, precisely at the right time. Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, him, in a reference to the Lord Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And when did they crucify him and when did they slay him? During the Passover feast, when those lambs would be butchered. But listen, he was dying for the sins of the world. He's dying for my sin. He's dying for your sin. Precisely at the right time. I think about 1 Peter 1, verse 19. I mentioned it a moment ago. It said, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Here in verse number 12, the Bible said, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast," that's the Passover, "they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem." The precise time when he made this triumphant entry, we think about precision. Not only that, we think about the preparation. In verse number 13, notice what the Bible said. "Now they've heard about Jesus coming," in verse 12, "but then they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna." Again, that literally means "save now." From the Hebrew in the Old Testament, out of the book of Psalm, we'll show you that here in just a second. "Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." They're saying "save now." But there was preparation for him coming in. At the beginning, they sort of halfway received him. If you look at that, say, "Well, man, they received him. They laid these palm branches." But again, they're looking for a political power to set up reign and overthrow the Roman government. That's what they were looking for. Now keep in mind, he's been on planet Earth now for about 33 and a half years. And for the last 3.5 years, we see his public ministry. He's been healing the blind and the lame and all the sick and all that stuff. He's been doing every bit of that. And people have been they've been laying eyes on that, but they still didn't get who he was in its entirety. But the preparation was, they laid these palm branches in front. That was a symbol of royalty as folks would come in. They got that right. Now, palm branches were a symbol of peace and victory, and you'll see that in the Bible. But several places in the Old Testament, but I think about Revelation 7, still yet in future days. Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb." That's none other than the Lord Jesus in future days. "They were clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." There's going to be palms in future days, because it's a picture of peace and it's a picture of victory. They had it right when they laid out those palm branches as the Lord Jesus Christ entered in. Why do we call this Palm Sunday, the week before Easter? Because that's when they laid out the palm tree branches as Jesus made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Now, ultimately, they rejected him, but by way of preparation, they had laid down these palm tree branches, and they also had psalms. What do you mean psalms? Well, they were singing. They were crying, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Again, that word Hosanna means "save now." It is an expression of adoration, peace, and joy. jubilation. That's what they had. Well, in Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26, the first two words lets us know what Hosanna means. It simply says, save now. I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Now here at this particular time, they're crying, Hosanna, save now, Hosanna, save now. In just a few short hours, they can be saying, crucify him. Crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us. When they figured out that he wasn't going to overthrow the Roman government. And we understand tonight, you think about the precision he came in. At the feast days, he came during Passover. And of course, the Passover lambs would be slain. That's the precise time the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. We think about the preparation. They laid those palm branches in front for him to come in and make his triumphant entry. They had the Psalms as they were singing, fulfilling Scripture out of Psalm 118. And they were saying, Hosanna, save now. But in a few hours, they're going to be crying, crucify him, crucify him. But not only do we see in our text the precision, the timing, at the feast of the Passover, as he makes his triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, we see the preparation with the palm trees and the Psalms. There was also a presentation. He presented himself as king. Look at verse, 14. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon. As it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Now, you think about that. If they had known the Old Testament Scripture, as many of the Pharisees and scribes should have known, they should have recognized the Lord Jesus coming in, riding on this ass according to the Word of God. It was a fulfillment of Scripture, Zechariah chapter 9. And verse number 9, so he's presenting himself as king to fulfillment of Scripture. He wasn't going to come in a chariot. They might have been looking for a chariot, but if they knew the Bible, he wasn't going to come in on a chariot. He could have come in on a great camel, which camel were basically used for carrying supplies. He didn't come in on a horse. It was told in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9, in verse number 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. This he is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding in upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, what is a foal? According to the dictionary, that is the son of a she-ass. And here he rides in on this ass according to the Word of God. That is a fulfillment of Scripture. He presented himself. He come during the feast days. Precise timing, Brother Harold. The preparation has been made. The palm branches, peace and victory, who's symbolic of the Lord Jesus. They sung psalms, a fulfillment of Psalm 118, saved now, a Hosanna, adoration, joy, peace, all that. Now he presented himself as he comes riding in. But you know what? His heart was heavy, Brother Brandon, as he made that entrance into Jerusalem. You say, well, now, how do you know that? Listen to this parallel text in Luke chapter number 19. The Bible said, Luke 19 and verse 41, and he was come near, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. What city? That's Jerusalem. The Bible said he wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And what Jesus was prophesying was what took place. Our secular history records that in A.D. 70, Titus and the Roman government came in and overthrew, leveled Jerusalem, leveled the temple, leveled it all, man, tore it down. As they come in, and Jesus perceived that. Well, why did that happen? Part of that was a judgment of them rejecting their king. But he was presented on that Palm Sunday. He came, precise time. He wasn't a minute too early, Brother Harold. He wasn't a minute too late. He came in when, that perfect time. He entered in at the feast days of the Passover. The presentation was, they seen him come and they said, Hosanna, save now. Blessed be the King of Israel. They laid those palm branches in front of him. They sung those psalms, Hosanna, Hosanna. Then we see the presentation. He came in on the foal of an ass, according to the Word of God, Zechariah 9 and verse 9. It was fulfilled right here in John chapter number 12, but notice the perception in verse number 16. The perception, or we could say the lack thereof, the perception. If you look at verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. These are men that when Jesus came on the scene, he saw them washing their nets. Sister Janet, he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible said they dropped their nets, forsook all, and followed him. These men demonstrated faith. They've been there when a blind man's eyes were open. They've been there when they seen the storm literally cease, the wind cease, and there's a great calm. When they were in jeopardy and they thought they were going to die, and he's asleep in the inner part of the ship, and he rises and simply speaks. He has authority over all that. They've witnessed all of that. They've seen Lazarus when he called it, Lazarus, come forth. John chapter 11, they've seen Lazarus come forth out of that tomb, been dead 4 days. They've seen all that. They've seen, they distributed what Jesus broke in his hand in John chapter number 6 and distributed and fed over 5,000 beside men and beside women and children. 14,000 probably on that day, or 15,000. With two small fish and five bodies. They've seen all of those miracles. He's even said, tear this temple down and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. They still didn't get it. And notice the Bible said there in verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at the first. The perception, they were lacking in the perception department. The truth, he had been around them for these 3.5 years. Some of them didn't get it till after the resurrection. Remember those two disciples, Brother Harold, on the Emmaus Road that he came and he went. They didn't even realize he was talking to them after his resurrection. They didn't get it. Now think about all these things. The Bible goes on to say, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. You see, the truth was right smack dab in front of them. You say, preacher, now how can that apply to me today? Think about the offer, Brother Brandon, that Jesus offered on that day, a special offer to whosoever will. At the first man, they laid out the palm branch, but then they didn't understand completely, and they eventually rejected him, and the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Now, let's fast forward to 2024. Did you know that, there's not going to be another crucifixion because once and for all, Jesus paid that price. But there's a lot of folks that still reject Jesus today. Now, that offer is presented to whosoever will. It's crystal clear, but some don't get it. Amen. Some cannot perceive it. The gospel is presented that you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You can go to heaven one day regardless how young you are, how old you are, regardless what you've done. Based on what Jesus did, he can forgive you of all your sin. Man, what kind of offer is better than that? And God offers that to whosoever will. And then some still can't perceive it. Some will not reach out by faith and say, Lord, I need you. I got to have you. I want my sins forgiven. I want to go to heaven. Some will not proceed to do that. But listen to this. I thought about John 16 in verse number 12. And Jesus knew that they were going to struggle in this department. And he didn't leave them alone. John chapter 16 verse number 12. The Bible said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, and that's a personal pronoun. Didn't say when it. Said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now I just want to tell you this tonight, and some of you, this may sort of blow your socks off, and you may disagree, but you have a right to be wrong if you want to be wrong. But you think about people today, and you think about the days of Jesus. You say, well, man, if Jesus was here, I wouldn't reject him. Yeah, you would. The same people that rejected him then would reject him right now. Oh, if I could just see him raise Lazarus from the dead, then I'd believe. Oh, if I could just thrust my hand into his side, then I'd believe. Did you know we got a greater advantage today than they had in that day? ain't even close. You say, I just don't believe that prayer. We could just see Jesus. All people would believe. No, they rejected him on that day, on that Palm Sunday. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, but they still do it today, and they do it with a high hand. Because they had the Lord Jesus on that day. They didn't have the complete canon of the Word of God. We do. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We got the complete canon of Scripture, plus we got the Holy Spirit of God. See, you can't even believe unless the Holy Spirit imparts that truth to you. But you see, you can resist the Holy Ghost. You can grieve the Holy Ghost. You can quench the Holy Ghost. All those things are principles that are found in the Word of God. But it's my belief, my contention, folks today that reject, that they're in a greater sense of I don't even know what the word I even want to use. There's a greater judgment that awaits this generation, more so than the one in Jesus' day, because we've got the technology, the gospel has been presented, but the more things change, the more they stay the same. There's a special offer to whosoever will in John chapter 12 on Palm Sunday. Preacher, why do you call it Palm Sunday? Because they laid those palms out in front of a picture of peace and certainly joy. There the king has come in. They prepared with psalms, Hosanna, save now. At the precise time as the lambs are being ushered in through the sheep gate, man, getting ready to be slaughtered. That's the very hour that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life so you and I could be set free from sin. Then the presentation, he didn't come in on a horse. He didn't come in on a camel. He came in on an ass, according to Zechariah 9:9, to fulfill Scripture. Everything was perfect. But then the perception was they didn't understand it. There's a lot of folks that don't understand today. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with me? Listen, we are still God's mouthpiece. I didn't even mention this a while ago, but on Tuesday night, you got an opportunity, our college and career, and a lot of others going out on Tuesday night, knocking on doors. Man, that's a great opportunity. That's a hard thing to do. But you know what? This is not by chance. It's not by accident that the church is filling up here at Faith. It's not. It's word of mouth. People are knocking on doors. There's a concern. There's a genuine love for people. Yeah, man, you might as well get on board, enjoy the ride, and go out and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to tell others about. Oh, and by the way, if you want to go, you just see Garrett. Garrett will get you hooked up. 6 o'clock on Tuesday. There's a shot. But just understand, we have the greatest message. Brother Lynn, I get to tell the greatest message. Some people probably get bored by it. Some people probably get tired of hearing about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But that's the message I got to preach. That's the message that still changed. That's why I could stand up there and sing a while ago. He came and he changed my life. Because Brother Dobie, one day, the Lord Jesus Christ came by my way. And a man of God hopped up in the pulpit. Probably had preached it multiple times. But one day, the Holy Ghost imparted that truth into my heart. And I couldn't stand it, man. I was under conviction, broke down like a double-barrel shotgun. And I called out on the name of the Lord. And the Lord saved my soul on the same message that I'm preaching tonight. That never gets old. Hope that song is still the blood, never gets old. But there was a special offer that was presented on that day on Palm Sunday. It was rejected. Again, people still reject today, and we got a whole copy of the Word of God, complete from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Got the Holy Spirit of God that'll do the rest. Preacher, I can't. Well, can't never could do anything, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Sister Savannah's coming. Father, we sure do love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity. Privilege one more time, God, just to share the gospel message. Lord, I pray for everybody here, those that are under the sound of our voice, there's one here lost, never been saved. God, I ask that you deal with that heart. Lord, I'm glad you can save whosoever will. Lord, they rejected in that day on that first Palm Sunday. And Lord, there's folks still rejecting today. They just couldn't perceive it, couldn't understand it, couldn't grasp it. Lord, I beg and I plead you tear down barriers and somebody, whatever's keeping somebody from Jesus, God, would you tear it down? Pray for that child of God. God, help us to be faithful. Somebody may be going through some things. I'm glad, Lord, you'll be there with us. God, help us to be the mouthpiece. Lord, there's people we come in contact with every day, either going to heaven or going to hell, and it depends on what they do with you. And, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, help us to be faithful. Help us to be good stewards of what you entrusted us with. Oh, be careful. Give you praise. Give you thanks for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. A few minutes.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.